Good morning and welcome to Hope Community Church. How many are excited to be here? Three of you. God has been doing a work. We have been encouraging people to read through the Psalms. So I think we're like at Psalm 45. So if you grabbed a bulletin, grab one whenever you leave and start reading through the Psalms. I'm trying to make my kiddos memorize Psalm chapter 1. They're not about it yet. So I think that God will sort of move on their heart. This week and this summer, we have been called a summer in the Psalms. And so we've looked at Psalm 1, and then we looked at Psalm 73. And then last week, Pastor Ted, about allowing God to come into your life through Psalm chapter 24, and today we're going to tackle the longest chapter in the entire Bible. Anybody knows what it is? Thank you, Pastor Ted. And so Psalm 119. So if you will turn into your Bibles to Psalm 119, there's a good story. We have a picture of a guy. I think he was somebody of Montrose. His name was Marquia of Montrose. You probably never heard of him, but there is his pictures. He's from the 1800s. And you know how like today's day, like if you do something wrong, like so bad that they put you to death, like through electric chair or through something like that execution, typically you will be able to have like a free meal. You know, like what's your favorite meal? For me, it's crawfish. So then I'll die anyhow because I'm highly allergic. And so so either way I'm going. And so, you know, you get your free meal, your free phone call. That's sort of what happens in today's time. Well, back in the day, the way that you would go out is they would ask somebody to read one, or sing rather, one chapter of the scripture. And so you could pick whatever one that you wanted. You know, maybe Psalm 23. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I know you're coming with me. Amen. Through, you know, your execution. Well, this guy, Marquia of Montrose, decided to be slick. And so he picked the longest chapter of the Bible. He said, I'm going to pick Psalm 119. And you're not just going to read it, you're going to sing it. Okay. And so they began to sing Psalm 119. Now, this passage has 178 verses. And so they began singing the scriptures and read it. And do you know, halfway while they were done singing, that this guy that they came and freed him, and they said he doesn't have to die, all because why? He's singing the psalm, Psalm 119, the entire longest passage of the Bible. And so today we're going to look at it. Now, this passage is all about the word of the Lord. So I need you to help me. Just say, but the word of the Lord. Okay, we're going to try that one more time. Say, but the word of the Lord. Okay, so today, if you are looking for a passage to captivate you, we're going to talk about the word of the Lord. And obviously, it saved Marquia of Montrose's heart. And so today, we're going to look at this and how the word of the Lord saves us from our emotions, from our pitfalls, whatever it is that you have. So 2 weeks ago, I was able to speak here at Hope Community on the sanctuary. You may or may not remember that, and you may not have been here. Sanctuary is a place where we go to, much like where we just left, where the presence of God is, and we're singing, give me Jesus, and we're talking to the Lord, and as if heaven comes down to earth. You know those moments where you feel like the Lord is so close. Sometimes he will speak even in those moments. He will give you a word in those moments. Keep on fighting for your family. Or he'll say something like, hey, that be a forgiveness towards your boss. In the sanctuary moments of life, God is good. Amen. You know that you're going to get the victory, that somehow, some way, God is making a way. Those are sanctuary moments, and that's found in Psalm 73. But what do you do when you leave the sanctuary? You know what I'm talking about? After some people will give their life to the Lord and they're so excited. I call it the Jesus bubble. I've been in the Jesus bubble. I gave my life to the Lord and nothing could stop me now. You can't stop me because I was just following the Lord in my Jesus bubble. I was praying, anointed, full of the Holy Spirit until I got back to my high school and nobody else really cared about Jesus. And then they just went and popped the bubble. What do you do when somebody pops your Jesus bubble, your sanctuary bubble? And maybe God has given you a word. You're called to go and deliver people, or you're called to be somebody that helps, a counselor. Maybe God has called you in your position at your work, and you know that you were called, but somehow life happens, and you get four kids, and all these problems begin to exist in your life, and you're like, God, I know that there's a sanctuary, but how do I get back to the sanctuary, everybody say, but the word of the Lord. But the word of the Lord. Now, these are common in Scripture. Isaiah, he receives a vision in Isaiah chapter 6. He has a vision. God says, you're going to speak to a people who will never listen. Isn't that encouraging? You'll speak, but they'll never listen. So Isaiah doesn't continue in that. He needed another word from the Lord. Jeremiah starts in Jeremiah chapter 1. It says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, God said. And before you were born, I consecrate you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. But Jeremiah couldn't stay in that sanctuary moment. In fact, later on, he says, literally, this is what Jeremiah says. He says, your word was found and I ate them. He said, I ate them. Because you can't just live in the sanctuary, though we would love to live in the sanctuary. Let's be honest, all of us today go home somewhere to something or some problem, right? We have issues that come up all the time. We want to stay there, but Jeremiah realizes he can't stay there. There's Moses. Remember him? He gets his sanctuary moment at the burning bush. You're going to go and deliver people out of Egypt. And it's fascinating. Miracles, signs, wonders. And then they get into the wilderness and immediately it's not as fascinating. And you know what Moses clings to? But the word of the Lord. He actually gets the word of God in the form of 10 commandments. He stays steady in the word of God. And there's different people. Jesus, remember him being baptized? Hopefully you remember Jesus. He's baptized in the dove and the Holy Spirit. A sanctuary moment happens, but immediately he goes into the wilderness, and guess what he needs? The word of the Lord. You're going to get this at the end of this message. I'm confident. Paul has an encounter in Acts chapter 9 with the Holy Spirit and blinders, and he lives on that for a moment, but guess what? He goes back to study the word of the Lord. See, you can't just live in these emotions. You have to be secure. I have a quote. It's up on the screen. If in the sanctuary God speaks to you, the word, everybody say the word. The word will keep you. So I'm going to say that one more time so that we can get that quote on the screen. It says, if in the sanctuary God speaks to you, the word, everybody say the word. The word of God keeps you. And it's not on the screen even now. So let's keep on going. It says this, but the word of the Lord. Now we're going to look at Psalm 119. Are you there? Say amen. You there? Amen. So we're going to talk about the word of the Lord. So we're looking at Psalm 119, and it says this. And let me give you some information about the psalm. There's no title to this psalm. Most people think King David wrote the psalm, but we're still not even sure to this day. It is the longest psalm. It is the longest chapter in the entire Bible, and has no distinctive name for it. It is built like this. It is built like an acrostic. Now, all the kids that go to school are like, don't tell me, Miss Tara, about an acrostic. But you remember what an acrostic is, right? Like you say your name, Tara, T-A-R-A, and then T stands for terrific. You know, A stands for amazing. I'm speaking life into me. And so here we are. It's in a Hebrew acrostic, and the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters in the alphabet. So what the psalmist did was that for each little stanza, 8 verses, he would put the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then he would write his verses off of what the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet was. A lot of people in that time would teach their kids an alphabet, memorizing it off of the word of the Lord. And so they would sit their kids down and say, let's learn today the letter A. And they would sit their kids down, and then the kids would memorize 8 verses that stood for the word of the Lord. And they would say that over and over again as they learned the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's amazing. It's one of the most amazing passages in the Bible. There's the psalm is alphabetical with 8 stanzas like an acrostic. It has one letter and then another letter, another 8 verses. And so literally, when you read Psalm 119, you would be reading like 22 different psalms. Now you say, Miss Tara, please don't read 22 psalms right here today. And I won't, because I just got a couple of them. But I want to get a little bit of a background. The Holy Spirit loves to speak in poetic and rhythmic poetic ways. The verses are rhythmic, they're poetic, they have different forms, they grab your attention, and they are helpful to memorizing. And we're going to talk a little bit about memorizing the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is in each verse. Everybody say, the word of the Lord. Now, when you read a verse in Psalm 119, it's incredible. You're not going to see that exact phrase, the word of the Lord, but here are some phrases. Maybe we can grab this on the screen. We have some phrases on how many times the names and the theme is always there. Number one, you're going to see something saying God's law. Everybody say God's law. So that's another way to say the word of the Lord. And so you're going to see the name God's law. Then second thing you're going to see is his way. Everybody say his way. So you're going to see something that says his ways are good. You're also going to see something that says his testimonies. Everybody say his testimonies. So when you read it, realize that in each verse of the 119, so for all of those verses, the psalmist is saying his word, his way, his testimonies. You're also going to see his commandments. Everybody say his commandments. We're looking at another word. It says his precepts. Everybody say precepts. Now, you may not know what a precept is, but it's something that is entrusted to man, a word from God that has been entrusted to man. You're going to see his word. You're going to see his judgments. You're going to see his righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. You're going to see his statutes. Now, you may not know what that word means either. It means to engrave or to inscribe something literally in stone. So when you see a statute, you can think of the Ten Commandments or of all the scriptures and laws that are written in the Old Testament. The last word that you're going to see is his truth. Everybody say his truth. So the psalmist writes in every verse one of those words that you just read aloud. Why? Because the word of the Lord is what's going to keep you. The word of the Lord is what's going to get you from the sanctuary to your promise. See, a lot of people fall along the way. I mean, we can get an amen for that. I see people that I know that have loved Jesus for 20 and 30 years, and I can't believe some of the stuff that they're doing and being involved in. Didn't you used to love Lord? Didn't you used to come to the sanctuary with me? And I can promise you, one of the reasons why they have not continued is because they did not value the word of the Lord. They came in on a Sunday and they listened to a preacher, and that may be good for a moment, but there's no one in the room that only eats one day a week. I can tell that you don't just eat one day a week. And so we shouldn't eat the word of the Lord just one day a week. We have to say, God, this is who I need to be. If I want to get from point A to point B, I have to fall in love with the word of the Lord. I have to keep it as my course, because you can imagine Moses in a desert and people are grumbling and complaining, and he remembers the burning bush, but that's years ago. You remember those moments with the Lord, and they're years ago. And you're looking, God, what can sustain me now? And he would say, but the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, these scriptures that keep us. The psalm is written, whoever wrote it started when he was young, and then he began to write it as his middle age hit. That's probably verse 50 to like 100. And then as he began to continue, he would see 100 to 178. So you see a progression where this is a kid, teenager writing, and then you see at the end of the scriptures where he is hanging on to it for dear life. I used to think I'd always walk with Jesus. Now sometimes I'm just hanging on for dear life, asking God one more day to surrender everything to the cross of Jesus Christ. The psalmist is the same way. He's aging and he has wisdom in every portion. However, it is completely and entirely about the power of the word of God. You meditate on it. You grow as your love for the Lord, as your love for the word grows. I'm going to say that again. You grow as your love for the word of God grows. If you want to mature, if you don't want to stay at a baby Christian forever, you have to fall in love with the word of God. Join us. Read Psalms. Memorize Psalms with us. They've been easy. They have been good things to think on, meditate on. Join us in the word of the Lord. All right. Are you ready? Psalm 119, letter, verse 1. It says this in Psalm 1. Now, do they have a name in front of it? What is the name? Anybody have it? Shout it out to me. Do they have a name? Aleph. Guess what that is? the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so he writes the letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then he begins to write 8 verses. Now, we're going to do like sort of a word search this morning. So you're going to find where it says in each verse the word of the Lord, or the 8 different ways that I told you that there can be the word of the Lord. Are you ready? So it says this: blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk what? In the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who what? Keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but they what? Walk in his way. So you see the pattern is that every verse you're going to see one of those names that I just mentioned. It says in verse 4, you have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn of your righteous what? Rules. I will keep your statutes. There it is. Do not utterly forsake me. And then you see in verse 9, he starts with another letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so you see, what does the letter say? Beth. And so B. And so you're teaching your little kids this, and they're running around, let's learn the alphabet. And then you read the next 8 verses. Let's read them. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? See that he is young. By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you're a highlighter, highlight that one. The importance of memorizing the word of God. Why? So that we don't what? Sin. That's you. That's me. I have a tendency to sin. I have a tendency to do things wrong. And yet whenever I memorize Psalm 119 verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare what? All the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. We're going to move over to verse 57. As the psalmist progresses, we're going to look at 57. And so he starts how to keep your way as a young person, how to not look to the left or to the right. And it's all according to the word of God. You get a Bible. If you need a Bible, it's yours. The one right here in your chair, go home and take it and read through the word of God. How are you going to do the things that God has called you? But the word of the Lord. In verse 57, he's a little bit older. He is wise just a little bit. And he says, the Lord is my portion. I promise to what? Keep your words. He's reminding himself, I'm going to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay. How incredible. He says, when I think about God, I turn and I don't look the other way to keep your commandments. In verse 61, it says, though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not worry. But forget your law. At midnight, everybody say at midnight. I love that. That you would wake up and not turn to social media or to some page on some Instagram or some kind of website somewhere. But at midnight, I would rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, our Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Let's move on to verse 97. He says this as he ages. He says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So now he's moving. He says, I'm not just thinking about it at midnight. Here I am thinking on the word of the Lord. I have memorized the word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. So he begins to think on the word of God. He begins to meditate all the day, not thinking about the worries or the concerns, but rather thinking about the word of the Lord. Look at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the age, for I have kept all your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your what? I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And he continues to talk about the word of the Lord and letting that word encourage him and keep him. Go to the end in verse 169. Yes, I said that. Look how many verses he writes. This is the letter Taw. You should T-A-W. And it's says this in Psalm 169, as he's completing his life, as he's looking over his life and he's walked the way of the Lord and he has come from sanctuary and now the word of the Lord is keeping him and he has memorized. Look what he says in Psalm 169. It says, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all of your commandments are right. And he ends out the psalm with this, let your hand be ready to help me. I don't know where he's at in life. I don't know if he's on his deathbed. I don't know if age has caught up with him, but he still is crying out to the Lord. What a promise that in our life, that at the end of our life, wherever that is, that we could cling to the word of the Lord. It says, let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your what? Your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The word of the Lord. Now you can read through this. You can begin to meditate on it. It encourages you. And the problem, I remember when I was in college, I loved Jesus, but if I was honest, I never read the Bible. I don't know about you. You may or may not have ever read the Bible. I didn't like the Bible. I didn't understand it. And so though I went from conference to camp, to another conference, to a women's retreat, whatever it is that I did, I never grew because I never enjoyed the Word of God. And I was sitting in a place my senior year, my college year, and I said, Lord, I want to love the Word of God. I want to read the Word of God, not just as a devotional. I want to be committed to the Word of God. And so what I did was I spent time with this youth pastor and his wife in Texas, and they took me in, and they taught me how to read the Word of God. And you know what they did? He said this, Tara, go and read, at the time, 1 Corinthians. So I read the entire book of 1 Corinthians in about 2 days. It's 16 chapters. I read it, and then he said, Tara, go and read that book again. But I just read it. He said, this time I want you to read it and take out some things that speak to you. And so I began to read through. And then I began to take verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And I asked the Lord in that summer, would you help me to fall in love with the word of the Lord? When I back up and I don't read the word of the Lord, my spiritual life backs up. It takes us some steps back. And I can fake it. I can fake it in front of you, but I cannot fake it in front of my Savior. And there have been times in my life where I have been away from the word of the Lord because I'm too busy, God. I've got too much on my plate. But I can promise you, you can never be too busy for the word of the Lord because everything else will fall apart. You can't get from your sanctuary moments until you begin to hide the word of the Lord in your heart, until you begin to meditate. And here I am trying to get from sanctuary moment to another sanctuary moment to another moment with the Lord. And God says, if you will just stop and you will learn the word of the Lord, if you will meditate on the word of God, if you will let that love for God come in so that you get strong. I wasn't strong. I was a baby Christian sitting there trying to fake it until I make it. But there is no faking it until you make it, until you learn the word of the Lord, until you say, God, in Psalm 119, 105, we have it on the screen. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 119, verse 11, your word, everybody say your word, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By what? Keeping it with according to what? Your word. You want to stay pure, young people. Say, I'm going to memorize the word of the Lord. I'm going to live according to the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. In Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. In Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your what? From your law. See, God this morning wants to open your eyes so that you can understand the word of God. I don't care what kind of education you have. I don't care. Well, I don't like reading. Then good, get someone that reads it to you. And memorize and meditate and think on the word of the Lord. If you want to make it, and I think we're in a room of people that want to make it, from this sanctuary moment to the next, you're going to have to meditate on the word of the Lord. There are crises in our life. There are crises in our country. As I was writing this, I thought of the overwhelming crisis at our borders, that they need some Christian men and women that will get in the sanctuary and then go and fight for truth and justice at our borders. That there needs to be some men and some women of God that will say those things cannot happen in our country. But you can't just do that on your own. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to go and do that. God speaks to you in the sanctuary, but his word will keep you in the progress. And so there's some problems that are hitting our country. There are ungodly living within believers that need to set, and some believers need to set up themselves in the sanctuary till God speaks a word to them so that they can go out and do what God has called them to. The homelessness just right here on the east side of Houma. I was with businessmen this week who said, Tara, what is the problem? I said, there's homeless every day that come into our building and we don't have anything to help them beside food, and food is good, but food won't help them to get to where they need to be, and we need things that will help them, and we need somebody that will sit in the sanctuary and hear a word from the Lord from homelessness and then continue because the word of God says to continue. We have people that are homeless, mental issues that are beyond belief here in our community and across our nation. We need people that will stand in the gap in the sanctuary and say, God, I will fight. I will pray. I will hear from you. There's addiction at all-time highs. Somebody just said it. Some national person just said this is the worst that they have ever seen, the addiction in the United States of America. You walk down any street, and I don't care what street you walk down, you will see some type or form of addiction, and it's covered in the richer places and it's more exposed in the poverty, but it's still the same addiction. There are problems that are hitting. There's abortion. Whenever Louisiana passed the abortion law, that was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, though you can still have abortions. Do you know that right here we got 4 calls for abortion the same week that supposedly we could no longer have abortions in Louisiana? 4 ladies walked through our doors and someone had to sit in the sanctuary and say, God, I'm calling those people that are getting ready to have an abort and a baby, and I'm praying that they have a sanctuary experience so that we can teach them the word of the Lord. Someone has to stand in the gap for single parent families, for kids raising kids. The disrespect that we see is rampant all over our nations, all over our schools. Someone has to stand in the sanctuary and cry out to the Lord and say, until I'm not leaving the sanctuary, but what will keep you once you get this sanctuary moment and whatever God purpose has for your life, maybe that people will follow Jesus, or you're called to be a missionary, or you're called to be a Christian believer on your job, whatever it is, you stand there and you get that word of the Lord in the sanctuary. But the thing that will keep you and get to the point that God has called you to is the word of the Lord. You won't be able to do it. Moses couldn't do it from burning bush to burning bush. He had to memorize the word of the Lord. Jeremiah couldn't do it. He had to eat the word of the God. He said, Isaiah said, man, God, you gave me a hard mission. I got to speak to people who will not listen. And he said, I got to continue in the word of the Lord. Jesus oftentimes went away in the middle of the night. And guess what he was learning? The word of the Lord. And right when he was tempted, what did Jesus pull out? But the word says, man will not live by bread alone, but by every stone, by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. We have to be dependent on the word. You can't just have an experience. You have to solidify yourself into the word of God so that we can move and be the people that God has called us to be, so that we can make it to the end and he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. How does that happen? By memorizing, meditating, and learning the word of God. Read a psalm. Read two. Teach it to your kids. Sit down at night and help them to learn the word of God. Say, this is going to be who we are. The word of the Lord is what keeps you. There is a man, we have a picture of him. His name is William Wilberforce. And you may not know anything about William Wilberforce. He was in the 1800s. And God gave him a word in the sanctuary. At that time, slavery was rampant. And he was fighting to abolish the slave trade inside of England and all those areas, not in the United States. And so William Wilberforce was in Parliament. He was in legislative places. And he said, you know what, God, I believe that the word that you have given me is to abolish the slave trade. And so he began to abolish the slave trade, fight for it in legislation. And you know how legislation and government is slow. And so he fought for that for 26 years. For 26 years, he said, God, I know that the word that you gave me was to abolish this horrific injustice that is happening to people. And he stood and he fought. And in 1807, the abolishing of the slave trade, it was abolished. But there were still slaves. And so the next word of the Lord that God gave him 27 years later is, William, I have called you to abolish slavery. Like, there will be no more slaves. And you're the man that God has put on the hearts of people. God, you're the man, William. And he says this, that it took him 20 years. Can you imagine 20 years of fighting the same fight, going to Parliament every single day of your life, fighting for justice? And you know that you're a believer, and he had some God people around him that helped him and committed unto him, but he was the man. He was the person that kept on fighting and fighting. And in year 13, everybody say year 13. Now, 13 years this man fought in Parliament, and he writes this in his journal. He was a journaling man, and so he writes this. He said, today I walked from Hyde Park, that's where the government was in the Parliament, quoting, everybody say quoting, Psalm 1. He said he quoted from memory Psalm 119. To great prophet. Can you imagine William Wilberforce leaving Parliament and yet another day where it seemed like God wasn't moving, and God, you gave me this mission to abolish slavery, and here it is in year 13. And he could have been in his emotions. He could have been in his feelings. He could have said, that's it, I quit. But he did not. What did he do? He walked home that day and he began to requote what? The word of the Lord. He began to say, God, your word have I living in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so he begins to quote these things out loud, and he says to him, it was a great profit. To who? Not to the Parliament, but to his soul, to remind him that God's word is true and faithful. And do you know that it took him 20 years? Everybody say 20 years. In fact, the man, he began to be sick in his body, and he didn't even see this come to pass. But 3 years after he left Parliament, they decided in England to abolish slavery. And I think it's because a man was called of God in the sanctuary. And he knew that in order to stay, he was going to have to memorize and meditate and think on the word of the Lord. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? What about you? Where, if you would rate your life 1 to 10, I love these things. How would you rate your love for the Lord through the word of God? Oh, I love Jesus. Great. Have you read the word? No, I haven't read the word this week. Maybe the mission that you have for your life. What is the mission or the purpose that you have? What has God assigned you to? And you say, yeah, that's me. But then you haven't been faithful because you haven't been found in the word of the Lord. The Bible says that he will take the blinders off your eyes so that you can understand the word of the Lord. So there's no excuse, because the God of heaven is saying, just come. early in the morning, at midnight, whatever it is, to ask God to give you a love for the Word of God so that when you open it, not only do you read it, but you understand it and it keeps you. So that maybe if you're angry, it says in Ephesians, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Maybe if you're feeling condemnation, in Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are Christ Jesus. Maybe you're having a struggle in your mind, but you can take every thought captive because the Word of God says so. Whatever issue or struggle or you're depressed or you're discouraged, it's found in the Word of the Lord. And the psalmist in Psalm 119 says, hey, your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. In Psalm 119, 105, he says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the promise of the Word of God, that He will lead you and guide you and direct you. And today, if you say, you know what, Tara, I need a love for the Word again. I've lost my word for the love for the Lord. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? Maybe raise two. You know you haven't been in the Scriptures like you need to be. And today, as a commitment before God, not before me, but before the Lord who sees. In Ecclesiastes 5, he says, hey, be careful of the vows that you take. So be careful of what you say with your mouth, because we want this to be a reality in our lives, that we would love the Word of God and that we would live the Word of God and that we would meditate on the Word of God. Can you just pray if your hand is raised and you would like a love for the Word of the Lord? Can you just pray, say, dear Lord, you see me and you know me. And today I ask that you would give me a love for the Word of God. I know it will keep me. It will grow me. Sometimes it will correct me, but it will mature me into the believer that I'm supposed to be. So help me to read, to understand, and to love you through learning the Word of the Lord. I just would like to pray for you for a moment. God, I pray for those, God, those in the room that would say, I can't read or I can't understand what I'm reading. I know because I've been there. God, I pray that you would remove those blinders from their eyes. Bible says we can just pray for that, God. In James 1, it says, if anyone needs wisdom, ask for wisdom, and he'll give. So, God, we pray for wisdom as we read the Word of God. Even as we read through the Psalms this summer, that you would speak to your children, God, that you would speak now words, God, words that would benefit them, that will get them to the next step, that will get them to the next place that they need to be. God, that we would be lovers of the Word of God, that we would devote ourselves, like the Bereans in Acts, Lord, that we would devote ourselves to the Scriptures, loving the Word of God. Let it speak to our hearts, Lord God. God, help us to grow and to mature as we love the Word of God. God, we thank you that you will be in us, God, that you will teach us, that you will open our eyes. And God, help us, God, one step at a time to be students of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need a Bible, it's yours. Take it, read it. Start with Psalm 119. It's long, so it'll keep you busy. We love you very much. Stay after. Enjoy some meals. We'll be eating in the first two rooms in the youth room. If you're new, just join us. Stay for karaoke. And we'll see you this Wednesday for Frappuccinos and fun. And then, of course, next Sunday, we'll see you at 10:30.